Let's wrap up Nusche Katan. How's it sound?
Why are you so dispirited?
What?
Why are you so dispirited?
I'm not dispirited at all.
You didn't get to go to the parade.
Yeah, the parade of ships, that was...
Yeah, what happened? I'm very confused.
No one wanted to join me.
Yeah, the whole week.
I didn't go. No, but they have them... they all drive up the Hudson River.
When do they leave?
To the GW.
Like, do they all leave together?
No, no, it's just the parade about me now.
Yeah,
we should have gone. It's like a nice walk over.
Yeah. I was just confused where it was.
It started at 7:30, though.
Yeah, it was a little early this morning. It started up. I don't know what time they got to the GW.
They come up, right?
Yeah, yeah, they come from the harbor and they come up the...
How many ships?
It's like a lot of ships.
Yeah, I think it's like 7 ships or something, 8 ships.
That's really starting.
Yeah. We should go Fleet Week to check out.
Fleet Week.
Well, it's Fleet Week is now. But then they dock at the different piers around the city.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So we've been discussing this Nusche Katan. We saw 3 views in the Rishonim. So the main view in the Rishonim was that. Katan, Pikiyasa, and Ra, and therefore Katan is totally potter for his damages. There were 3 formulations of this. The Rush said it's because Katanim are Labani Onshin, Miri said it's because Katanim are Anusim, and the Rambam said it's because they're Nabani Das. Right, all this is in the view that a Katan is totally potter from his Nezek. The opposite view was the position of the Or Zeruah cited in the Hagos Ashri, which held that a Katan Mikra Din is fully Chayiv for his Nezek. Just you can't hold him liable until he becomes a gadol. And the Gos Hashri brought a raya from Rashi on Sadiches, and he brought a raya from a Kavah Chomer from the Gemara on Lamed Tes about Shor Shel Katan Shehizik Shor Shel Gadol. In between those 2 views, now we pointed out that according to the Gos Hashri, clearly he has to think that a Katan is in principle liable, right? He has to refute all of the claims by the Meiri, the Rambam, and the Rush. So he thinks that to some extent a Katan is a Bar Onshin, to some extent a Katan is a Bar Das, or that you don't need Das when it comes to Nezikin, or that a Katan is not Ones, or either that a Katan is not Ones, or that it doesn't matter if he's Ones, because Adam Mu'ad Li'olam. So clearly that goes to Ashri has a very different concept of Chiyuv Nezikin than these Rishonim have. Isaac, did you get a chance to see any of these Makaros?
I listened to it.
Okay, very good. So in between these 2 views, so what do we have then, Isaac?
That part I didn't get to.
Ah.
Okay. I didn't show you. 38 minutes.
So in between those 2 views, we have the position of these Achronim, who hold that there's some in-between ground, that a Katan is liable, but he's not fully liable. So there are a few different formulations of this idea. The first is from the Nachal Yitzchak, the Biskel Chaim Inspector, and from the Divrei Chaim, both of whom argue that the Katan is liable mitam sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach for Masha Asa b'katanuso. So he's not liable for Nezikin b'dini Yisrael, but there's a backup liability b'toras dini b'nei Noach, and that's grounded in this idea of mi'ika midi, that's asa for b'nei Noach but mutter for Yisrael. And it's also grounded in this idea that there are no shiurim for b'nei Noach, so the cutoff of bar mitzvah doesn't affect them. So Katan Yisrael has to be chayiv mitam sheva mitzvos. So that opens a very interesting door to see, are there conceptual differences between liability b'torah sheva mitzvos and liability b'torah dinei Yisrael. But these achronim don't really explore that. The second, Noah.
Well, why would it make sense that non-Jews would be chayiv nezikin, that their response to these chal as soon as they're B'nai Das for Jews.
So he's saying that the same thing would apply.
I thought he said because there are no shiurim, there's like a default for non-Jews.
Right. That you're liable once you're Bar Das.
Yeah, so why would that be the case? Why would they have an even more strict view?
But it's not strict. The whole point of Mi'ika Midi is that it can't be more strict. And so if they're liable when they're Ketanim, then Yisraelim also have to be liable when they're Ketanim. B'toras, this weaker principle.
So there still would be like B'torah...
That's his whole point.
Okay.
That's the whole point, that the Katan is liable b'torah sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. Not a Katan Akum, a Katan Yisrael is liable b'torah. That's why it's so interesting, because then you have to figure out, well, then are there different dinim of his liability? Does everybody see that? Okay. Other achronim argue that a Katan is liable for mash asa b'katnuso in the Zikin, not b'torah Ikar Adin, but Petoras Lifnim Mishuras Adin. That's the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Mem Gimel, quoted Chatan Shehika Es Aviv, O Avar Shar Averas Bekatnusa, Afish Eino Tzarech Chival Kshi Yigdal, Mikam Lakam Tovlo Shei Kabal Atma Eza Darver Lechival Lechapara. The Taz discusses Rashi and Sadi Ches about Chatan Shehizik, and he argues, V'nir L'nias Daiti, Der Vashi Vadei Pater Min Adin, El Derafram Kofo B'dvarim Lassos Lefnim Mishur Es Adin. So according to the Taz, the Chiyav Tashlumin is Lefnim Mishur Es Adin. So this also, like the chiyah b'toras b'nei noach, has to be analyzed. I mean, how do you understand the katan's chiyah lifnim yishur asadin? The other extremes kind of make sense, right? So either a katan's a bardas or he's not a bardas, he's on us, he's not on us, he's baronchin, he's not baronchin. And that's what the orzarua is duking out with the other rishonim. But what is this idea that he's chayav b'dei shamay, or he's chayav lifnim yishur asadin, but he's not chayav me'ikra adin? So how do you understand that? Leon.
Well, what's the issue?
Just like, how do you understand what is the chi of lifnim yishur es adin? If the katan doesn't have moral responsibility at all,
societal protection,
something like that.
But even that's not lifnim yishur es adin. Isn't that
just
in? Aren't we assuming that like
something like that kind of tzibur tikkun olam would be meikar adin?
I mean,
it seems certainly in those cases we saw in Lama Tess, it sounded meikar adin.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a little bit semantics, but like, the Mishuras Adin seems to say that it has no pre-existing legal value, which is like a good thing
right,
to do.
Right. And so you're saying that would be too weak. That would be too strong to capture this Lifnim Yishuras Adin. I wonder if what he means is, so on Monday I was arguing that the idea, maybe part of the motivation for the Ar Zarua is the Pseida, the Hefsid of the Nizak.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't care about Anus, we don't care about La B'nei Das or La B'nei Onshin, because what we really care about is restoring the Nizak's loss. So you might say that maybe the Taz has a more in-between view that Me'ikar Adin, you can only be kofeh on the responsibility of the mazik. But lifnim yishuras adin, you can obligate somebody for the pseida de nizak, even if there's no liability for the mazik's own actions. So you see, that's like a nice way of trying to isolate chiyuv b'toras, the actions of the mazik, which you can't be kofeh, and liability grounded in the pseida de nizak, which maybe you can at least try to collect mitam lifnim yishuras adin.
Well, did that respond to the Oz point at all?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I think so.
Well, but he was saying, like, intuitively, like, the Fumisher of the Din, that there is no, like, value of protecting
it. No, so that's...
Well, it's not Tikkun Olam, right?
Yeah, so it does have an inherent value, and it's compensating the Nizak in this instance, who wouldn't ordinarily be responsible, but because
right.
of the Fumisher of the Din, there is an extension of liability.
Right, Tikkun Olam would be, like, a stronger idea that... look, that's just, it's going to destroy society if you don't hold him liable. Here it's much weaker. It's just that he was the cause of somebody's losses, and it's appropriate. There's like maybe an imperfect duty for him to compensate that person. So I think that's, doesn't that address your point?
I guess so.
You're right. The Arzuru would say, no, this gives rise to a perfect duty of compensation. Or you call it a strict duty of compensation. And he's saying, no, it just gives rise to a weaker duty that's generated through Lifnim Yishuras Adin. Yeah?
Like a little bit.
Cop out?
Yeah.
Well, it's not technical. It's saying that there are two dinim here. And there's machlokes in the Orzu on the Taz, whether that second din of Pseida Denizak generates strict liability or a strong liability or just merely
for
liability
the
Lifnim Yishuras Adin.
The difference between strict liability and just liability of Tashlumin.
So it sounds whether you could be kofeh with force. The Taz thinks that he was only kofeh here bidvarim.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like.
So as Machlokes Rishonim, whether you could be kofeh on the Lifnim Yishuras Adin. It sounds like the Taz wants you can't be kofeh bigadayim, but you can be kofeh bidvarim. Maybe you could exert like social pressure or something.
Yeah. I mean, so that's like a very minor distinction. According to those shitas, I think you can't be kofa the thing sure as it did, you can't be kofa the tashlumin that is otherwise identical to the regular chiv of tashlumin.
No, there is no chiv of tashlumin.
Right, it's not the normal chiv of tashlumin.
Yeah.
Right, it's not the normal.
That's true.
So that's what I'm saying. It's not because of the responsibility of the mazik.
Got
it's just a weaker principle to make up the nizak's loss. which according to Taz only generates a chiv lefnei mishuras hadin. Right? Whereas if you take my argument in the Orzeruah, the Orzeruah is saying, no, even if there's no accountability of the mazik, the pseida deniza could generate a bona fide or a strict chiv that you could be kofan. Is that Isaac, is that a solid problem? Yeah? No, why are you so not happy?
Me?
Yeah. You're not in Greece, you're not with the Yavanim anymore. You're back to learning Torah Seinu Akdosha, and that contrast is too jarring.
That's a good point. There's only this trip to Israel. He had so much of Torah Seinu Israel, he just can't come back to
Israel. Oh, you're in Israel in between, right? That's the... right here. All right, so there's another variation of this in-between idea. So far we saw the chiyuv of Bnei Noach. Secondly, this chiyuv of Lefnei Mishuras Hadin from the Taz. The third idea seems to just be a chiyuv pious. So the best formulation for this is from the Shvus Yaakov. And he says, the katan has a chiyuv latzeis yidei shemayim. Okay. So he says, is the Shvus Yaakov. Achnira da'af latzei sidei shemayim ein menatzorech l'shalim hakol k'mo shekasav atshumas adeshen, etc. It's sufficient that you pay just some token compensation for the damages. That's the key phrase here, is that ein minatzorech l'shalim hakol. And he says, and the nizak has a duty to accept. Tov shetekabel is a kapari. He should accept the thing that you offer him. Halkein hamocha lo yachzari v'yifuyas v'mayad v'yifayis mishum takanas hashavim ke'elu sherotim latzeis yidei shemayim. He's saying, and the nizak shouldn't be stubborn and hold out for full compensation. He should accept the token amount that the mazik is offering him. In a case of a katan shehezek. So this is also very interesting because he's contending that you could have a case of nezikin which generates a liability of tashlumin lefayes, but that doesn't correspond to the scope and amount of damages that were caused.
Where does he have the obligation of lefayes?
What?
Where does he have the obligation of lefayes? Then you said that the nizak should be...
No, it's in the next...
Well, he says, I think he says, yeah, so Isaac wants to say that's the din in the nizak. He's saying,
isn't that the same thing you're saying? This is a different way. This is kilu lefnei mishurat hadin, but just in terms of like lefayis. Like lefayis is the mechanism as opposed to mishurat.
So a few ways you could read that. It depends if you think the emphasis here is on lefayis or that there's a chiyuv to pay some token amount.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what it sounds more like.
The chiv is just to pay some token amount. So let's take that for a second. How would you understand the chiv just to pay a token amount? So there's like a chiv to pay for the wrongdoing, but not to make up the nizak's loss. Is that what you get out of this?
Something along those lines. Like you don't need more culpability to have an obligation to pay a token amount.
So what's the kunst of the token amount, right? So I think the only like other area where we saw something comparable was in the Meitav Sugya, where there's like you're paying for the damages and some other consideration for the fact that you violated his property, right? And here it sounds like you're just paying like some nominal consideration for the fact that you're a mazik, but you're not making back his losses. You're not compensating him for losses.
Right.
So I wonder if this is like a way of saying that, look, a katan shehizik, he's responsible for being mazik, or like for committing some wrong against the nizak, but he's not responsible for the scope and extent of the damages that he causes. I wonder if that's a way of making sense of this idea that you have a chiv l'shalim, but not l'shalim hakol. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I'm good.
You like that? Okay, so we have one person who likes it. Yeah, it looks like you're...
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Why would that be?
Well...
Why wouldn't a katan have...
responsibility.
Or yeah,
it doesn't have the means to pay for it. Shouldn't be held as liable as a guzzle.
Yeah, I would say more precisely that maybe a katan can be held responsible for the binary wrongdoing. I mean, he committed a wrong, he's responsible for that, but he can't be held responsible for the scope of his wrongdoing. That's already too sophisticated kind of responsibility for a katan. So, like, a katan shouldn't be able to distinguish mine and thine, right? And so there's a wrongdoing that's committed for violating what someone else's, but he's not a bar das to understand, like, you know, the value of the losses that he imposes, and so he can't be held responsible for that.
I have Tosfos and the Tanya, but actually Tosfos and Katan, the Katan can understand a command to do an action, but they don't understand the implications.
So yeah, that'd be like a nice parallel. Yeah. It's a little too neat, you know. It's kind of like it works in very nicely, but I think it's a nice way of A, bringing out that there are two dinim here, right? There's the wrongdoing itself, and then there's the scope of damages, and maybe a Katan is a nice nafgamina, where he's accountable for the wrongdoing, not for the scope of it. For foregoing reasons. Okay. Now, here I mentioned on Monday also, let me get it out here again, that the Sefer Chassidim, sorry, not Sefer Chassidim, the Radvaz in Chilek Vav Simen Beis Alafim Shin Yedalu. So I just gotta love the Chuvas of Radvaz. So he implicitly points out that a lot of these Achronim discuss the chiyuv l'shalem nizikin in the same breath as they talk about a general requirement of a katan to do tshuva for masha asa bekatanuso. So, for example, a katan doing tshuva for eating treif while he's a katan is the same conceptual question as a katan's duty to compensate somebody who he harmed with nizikin when he was a katan. That's the sense you get from the way the Shulchan Aruch, which treated in the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Shin Mem Gimel and the Taz there. That's the sense you get from the Sefer Chassidim in Simen Tafresh Sadi Beis, which we'll take a look at in a second. But the Radvaz thinks that's wrong. So he says here, She'ela, Shalta, Misha Asa Averos Bekatnuso Im Chai Vakabel Tshuva Bigadluso. So he says, look, Tshuva Pater Menadin. So you're Pater. The Afal Gav the Kasa Bagos Ashri the Katan Shehizik Chayiv L'Shalem Lo Hiskimo Imo Shar Poskim. Okay, Umash Mali Da Filu B'Hagos Hagos Ashri Lo Amra Ella Bin Nizke Mamon Shlo Yehi Chaveru Nifsad Aval Baveru Shben Adam L'Makom Modehu She'Eno Tzarech Tshuva De'en Maisa Katan Klum. See that? So Vaz says, very crucially, that even the Hagos Ashri, who thinks there's a chiyuv, will admit that there's no chiyuv tshuva for stam averos ben adam lamakom. So Katan wouldn't have to do tshuva for eating treifos when he becomes a gadol, but he would have to do tshuva for being mazik someone. Right? And why? So this is like what we said on Monday. Shelo yehei chavero nifsad. Is explicitly concerned with the pseida of the nizak. So whereas the other achronim group these questions, these general questions of tshuva for a katan together, he thinks that nezak is special because there's the losses of the nizak to worry about. Noah.
Yeah, but like that doesn't make sense. I mean, like if you take the Shu Yaakov's approach that he's only responsible to pay for a token amount of tashlum.
Yeah, so l'chor he disagrees, right? Lachor, he disagrees. He thinks that you'd have to pay.
So then what would be his svara for why Kitanim should be held liable even to the Al-Duta? Like, besides from the fact that he thinks that the Hefzid of the...
Yeah, I think that's what
he thinks
Hefzid.
The Hefzid of the Nizak
is
so strong.
Right,
even
yeah. That's what we were arguing on Monday, that maybe the Mechayev according to that goes Ashri and the Rezerua is really the Pseid of the Nizak. And that's why we don't really care about the fact that the Katan's not a Bardas and he's Anos and Labar Onshin.
Why are you quoting this now? Like, this is just the Hagos Ashri explanation for that now. Well? This is not like an in-between shita on Katan.
Yeah, so I think even if you don't go with the Radvaz, you might think that even if you think that there's just a chiyuv latzei sidei shemayim, so that chiyuv is shelo yehei chaver nifsad. I mean, so even within the Taz, you distinguish between tashlumei nezikin versus other inyanei tshuva. That's why I have it here. Does that make sense?
I guess.
Yeah, so here, so look at the end of the Radvaz. He says here, he goes to Sefer Chassidim, who holds a tzarech lehisvados kishe yagdil v'amash asa bekatanuso. So v'nira de taimo de simen hulakatan sheosa avero sheasat merake ben karnav. V'lechein tov lo sheachnias libo v'yisvada amash asa bekatanuso kadesh lo yivakesh yitzor es limudo. So he's saying, like, Sefer Chassidim thinks that you should do tshuva for all averos that you do as a katan. He includes kinds of nezikin. And so he says, well, that can't be like a real liability. That's just because to like beat out the bad character traits or so. Shliya satan marakid ben karnos. The satan shouldn't be able to get to you too easily. But my point is that you still might distinguish between chiyav nezikin bekatanuso, which is shaloye chaveiro nifsad, maybe lefnei mishur sadin, and the liability for these other averos, which is just shliya satan marakid ben karnos. Just different conceptual basis. Maybe there is some important nafkamina. Here's the Sefer Chassidim that he's pointing to.
You could say that for all the in-betweens, no?
Well, yes, but I'm saying, well, most in-betweens don't distinguish, except for the Radvaz.
Between what?
Between Chi of Nezikin and Chi of Tshuva for Shar Averos.
Okay, but I'm just saying you can say Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan says that a Chatan Chayv didn't judge Shev Mitzvah Pneinah, because Shev Mitzvah Pneinah are to protect the Chaver.
Right, correct. I think it makes sense. Let's take a look at the Sefer Chassidim here. So anybody want to take a stab at reading the Sefer Chassidim? Tough race study base? Akira, why don't you take a stab at it? Always eating.
That's true. Shari Yoshiyahu Shah Mikol Avodos, Shile Kol Asher Dan Shalokidin, Shilaf Shalokidin Mikarusa.
Yeah, so Sefer Chassidim seems to say that you have to notice how he groups together all the Avonos and the Gnevos, right? Then he brings a Raya from the Hefsid Mamon case of Yoshia, that when he was done as a Katan, maybe he was Motzi Mamon Shalokidin, and he wanted to pay compensation. So. And over here, he throws in some more. Yeah. So he says the same thing is true for somebody who lost his das and then regained it. He's chayav to pay up back for all the losses that he caused when it was nitros daito. And look what he throws in here as well for good measure. And it sounds also mafsha hisid bishchruso, chen misha hayashakor shikor kilot chayev. Right? So it sounds like he's saying, like, there's real chiyev, even when you're a katan or you're not a bardas. But then he throws in, aval eno kol ka chayev, mikol mokom al yado nasa. So what do you think it's getting at here? It's good Sefer Chassidim. It's like you can't really be held liable, but like still like you did it.
That makes good sense.
So if you're like super young that you don't even remember the Geneva, then you don't have a Chiyuv Shalim. It's not really clear what he's getting at, right? He says you're chayiv, but then he says you're not kol ka chayiv, but mikol makom al yado nasa. So what's that? Just chiyuv latis de shemayim, or? But then he has this distinction of whether you remember or not.
Sounds kind of utilitarian until the point.
Well,
it sounds a little utilitarian. It's like you don't kol chayiv, but like we're gonna kind of hold you to it because the mice that you did it.
What does that mean, though? You're saying just help out the Nizak, or
yeah,
or it's like, look, we have you're not liable, but like, why should this guy lose? So we go to you.
It doesn't work though, because it all that whole argument falls apart as soon as he says like, but if you were young enough, so then you're not chayav. It has to be true.
So maybe I think this last thing is a way of saying that maybe there's a certain degree of bardas that you have to be in order to be liable, even in this weaker stage of a katan. Right? So like, look, if you're mamish an infant, then you wouldn't even be liable under this weaker mechayiv of whatever it is that these achronim are appealing to, of a chiyuv latis yidei shemayim, or of a chiyuv lefayis, etc. So maybe like whether you remembered or not is a shear in the amount of das you had, rather than an actual criterion of liability. Right? It's not that there's anything about remembering the isser that makes you liable. And notice he says, "Imam arlo ma'od katan hayisi kishaganavti." So if you emphasize the first part, mod katanayisi, then maybe it could be the last phrase as being just a shear in how young you were.
Right, like the main mechayev would be al yad of nas or something like that.
Yeah.
And this is a tanai.
Exactly. To hold you liable for this. So there's chiyuv. That doesn't apply here, but al yad of nas is like a lower reason for holding you, making you pay. But that only applies if you're not at the age of... so young that you couldn't remember it.
So what's the deal with Nitraf Daito?
The Nitraf Daito?
Yeah. Why is that not the same as Ma'ud Katam?
It's just like, you know, it wasn't that he lost his ass, you just remember he lost his like chachma.
Yeah, you know, so I would like, just say one clarification.
It's like he's had a bad day, you know, he didn't get a good night's sleep and then he wasn't sharp. And so look, you should still pay for Nazikin even though you lost your Lamdisha edge. I don't know. Yeah, Kira, what do you
think? What says is a good explanation for this distinction based on what you're Zohar and Ozzy.
Simenu Lakatan Shasa Averos, Shakata Satan Marakid Ben Karnav.
Yeah, if you still remember it, then you're more likely to repeat it. If you don't remember it, you're not as likely to repeat it.
Are you a psychologist now? You're saying if you remember the Avera, then, Liad, what do you think of that?
It's like a funny point.
if the satan were still ragged in Karnav, why would he let you forget it?
It could be subconscious. Maybe you don't remember it.
That's a pretty good point.
Maybe it's subconscious. Maybe you don't remember it, but it's already ingrained in your behavior. You're saying, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You're saying, like, remember the, it's like Shanus Nasus Lokaheta or something, but that only applies if you remember it.
Right.
Simon who lakat and Joseph Aver Shot Maragam Kana Vakendo Shafnias and Kadishli Vakesh Yitzur Estimudo. Interesting. Not a bad Sora. I hear. Okay, so that's so much that's the in-between views. And what's interesting about the Sefer Hasidim is that in the last phrase here he injects the consideration of, well, how much das did the katan have, even to be held liable, but Toras Katan. So I want to go back to the beginning of the Marmar Kolmos here and point out that the Mari Bruna, in that piece that we saw in Simon Yates, quotes some contemporaries who also seem to distinguish based off the das or the age of the katan. So he quotes here towards the end, V'achaver b'kalmin, ketzinin, amar li, Shehu kasav shehaya muflas samach liish v'lekach chiev hakatan. V'tamani alav shalom atzinu smach b'chol makom b'talmud u'poskim lo amru muflas samach liish el l'nedarim. So my Rabbi Leib Mikra. He's saying, so this fellow Rav Kalman held a katan was a muflas samach liish liable for his nezikin. And the Mari Bruna is upset by this because muflas samach liish is a din miyuchad in hilchos nedarim. So what do you think of this? Sounds like he's saying it's like it's just a din in the level of das you have, and if you're mufa samach liish to have das lin and nedarim, then you could be a bar das lin and nezikin also. So this is an in-between view, not in terms of the kind or strictness of liability, but in terms of, it's not gadol versus katan, like the Sefer Hasidim would think that there are shades of gray in the katan side. The Shita of Rav Kalman here seems to hold that there are shades of gray in the gadol side, meaning once you're Mufasam Bechlish, we'll treat you as a full gadol. So So maybe it's not shades of gray. Maybe it's just putting the line for being a gadol earlier. It's not clear. Would you hold that the katan has the exact same liability as a gadol? But at least it's sufficient to hold him chayev.
So it's very limited liability, and it's just because he's so much to the age.
Well, so I'm not sure exactly what it is. It seems that he held. So he thinks you don't have to be bar mitzvah. You just have to be a mufas tambachlish.
It seems to imply that the general nature of katan is that the guards and their potter, and it happens to be there's an exception for those.
Yeah, if you're close to being a gadol. Yeah. Anybody have any haros on the Mufos Samachlish issue? Akir, you have no?
Please work very well with Rama.
Well?
Works very well with Rama.
B'nai Das. Because you're saying here, when you have a certain level of Das, that's sufficient to hold you liable. Yeah, I think it does work nicely with the Rambam. Let me make one other. So, yes, that's what I wanted to say in terms of the general framework of the three ways of understanding the Chi of Katan. The standard view is Tachal Legamri. I go to Ashri or Zerua view that he's chayiv once he becomes a gadol, and these in-between views of the achronim. So now I want to turn our attention to the sugya on Lamed Tes, which was part of the Or Zerua's argument. Remember, the Or Zerua argued that if we find in the sugya on Lamed Tes that a katan is liable for his shor that causes damage, then kol shekein, he should be liable when he himself causes damage. That was the kol shekein. We saw a lot of ways of resisting the kol shekein. We saw three views in the achronim. But the kol shekein is imperfect because there's something different about the sugya on Lamed Tes. So what happened there? Does anybody remember what's different about Lamed Tes?
The shor of the Gemara.
So both. So remember the Gemara said that if so the shor shall cheri shot of a katan shenaga bezin amidin lahen apetropis, and we idin lahen bifnei apetropis. Right? Now the Gemara said what that means is im huchzaku nagchanim ma'amidin lahen apetropis. So it doesn't mean that if it becomes a mu'ud already, it just means that if the animal becomes a threat to society, then we'll appoint an apetropis to be in charge of the animal. Okay? Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there are two important machloksim there in the Gemara. The first is whether this applies to a shor tam. Are the yisomim chayev for a shor tam shelahem shehizik or just a shor muad? And secondly, the machlokas is when the apotropis pays, does he pay using the money of the yisomim? So he's just in charge of watching their shor, but once there's liability, it comes out of the Yisomim's bank account. Or does it come out of the apotropis' own bank account, and just he recovers his expenses from the Yisomim when they become gadolim? Okay, so two important machloksim in the Gemara there. Now it sounds like there's a machlokas rishonim about why it is the case that the apotropis pays on behalf of the yisomim. So what do you think the two ways of understanding that are? So on Lamed Tes, again, we appoint, if the shore of the yisomim becomes dangerous, so then we're going to appoint an apotropis to oversee it, and they could be held liable if it then causes nezek. But the question is, why? What generates that liability?
Theirs.
Well?
It's theirs.
Meaning what?
Consider the apotropis. He's
so I wouldn't say that, right, I wouldn't say that it becomes his. I wouldn't say that the shor becomes a shor shel apotropis. And I would say that maybe the apotropis is the shomer, and he's liable qua being the responsible shomer of the shor. So, but that would mean that the sugya on Lamed Tes holds, in principle, the apotropis is the one who's liable for the nezek of the shor shel yisomim, not the yisomim themselves.
Why?
Well,
maybe it's that the yisomim don't have an address, and therefore the apotropis is the only person who does have an address for their liability.
I mean, it's just because their liability is suppressed.
Yeah.
But remember that the proof that the Or Zerua brought from Lamed Tes is the fact that the ketanim reimbursed the shomer.
Yes,
right?
So why is that? I don't understand why that why that implies that it's not.
So if the liability on Lama Tess is just grounded in the chiv of the apitropsim, then you can't derive a kal v'chomer from there to the liability of the yisomim of the ketanim themselves. And the Zeru's argument is, look, if the apotropis pays up front and then gets reimbursed from the ketanim when they become gedolim, kol shekein, a nizak should be reimbursed from ketanim once they become gedolim. But if the liability of the apotropis is not betoras liability of the ketanim, but his own liability, then you don't really have any raya to katan hamazik biyadayim. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So this seems to be a machlokas we've shown him on Lamed Tes. If you look at Rashi, so Rashi says the apotropis pays out and then he recoups his expenses from the Yisomim. Rashi says, why does the apotropis get to recoup his expenses? So look at this. The Elo mimani velo avdi. Because if you don't allow the apotropis to recoup his losses, his expenses for the nezek of the shore from the Yisomim, then no one's gonna ever become an apotropis for the Yisomim.
Stira and Rashi's.
What?
The Stira and Rashi's.
Because there it sounds like there is chiyuv. And here it sounds like there's no chiyuv meikar adin.
Right.
It's an interesting point. Think about it. It's a good point. I mean, it's a steer, at least for the way Zeruah is using Rashi over there. The against Rashi's read, so you have the Tosa Shans here. It's not clear the Tosa Shans ultimately endorses this, but at least the Yesh Mefarshim that he quotes. So this is within the view that the Yisomim pay directly from their assets. Okay, why? The Amris me alias apotropa mimani. The Gemara says, because if you make the apotropsim lay out the money in advance and only let them recover their expenses later, no one's going to want to be an apotropis. Right? No, on this view, no one's going to want to be an apotropis if they have to front the cash for the Yisomim. So he says, Yesh Mefarshim, Dehacha Davka Mimani, Lefi Shemechayavin Oso Lefroa Shelo Kedin, Midechozrin Vinefroyan Lechi Gadli. So the Yesh Mefarshim are saying that the only time we have a concern that someone's not going to become an apotropis is if they're forced to make payments shelo kedin. How do we know this is a payment shelo kedin? Because they're going to be reimbursed from the yisomim later. So that shows that it's not actually the apotropis's liability. Right? It sees it's actually the liability of the ketanim, just the apotropis would be fronting the money for them. See that point in the Tosa Shans? Yeah? Does everybody see that? So it's in contrast to Rashi, who thought that Mikra Adin, the Chiv lies with the apotropis, the Yesh Mefarshim and the Tosha Shan says, no, Mikra Adin, the liability lies with the Ketanim, and that's what establishes the Umduna of Mimani, that they're not going to want to volunteer, because no one's going to volunteer to pay a Chiv that's not their liability in principle. So he clearly thinks that it's the Yisomim's liability. So that's in line with the... Well,
Hans thinks that people would be fine accepting liabilities with no rewards.
Right.
They just won't be fine accepting liabilities with no rewards.
Right, meaning I'll be an apotropis. So it's not like there's no rewards. So some Achornim say, oh, it shows, it's like being a shul board member. It's like a chashiva position that we make you an apotropis for the Yisomim. You're in charge of their estate. Maybe you get some kickbacks by, you know, you get to Tuvas Hana about where you, like, make the, who you hire to mow the lawn, things like that. But they say it shows that you're a gavra da'amid, you're a chashuva guy in the community, that you're trusted to oversee their estate. But Shinuch Betz is saying, but you're not going to do that if it's going to be mechayev you to make payments shelo kedin. But you will do it if your liability is limited to meikar adin liability. I'll pay if it's my responsibility. I shouldn't be liable to pay if I'm not obligated to. It's a halachic man, apotropis, right?
It's like the way you said it. It's like kind of like Weiss was talking.
Well?
So just the way you said it sounded like Weiss was talking.
Well, I said it's a halachic man... way of thinking. Which part? So that's a riot that people think this way, right? But it shows that this is this svara is alive and well. Okay, so that's the important point I wanted to make. Just the whether that raya, that sugya is a good raya, depends on whether you think the yisomim are in principle liable or it's the apotropis who's in principle liable. Parenthetically, let me just note that that's very much related to our Nizke Mamon Shaila, and the Chorin Amad Lama tests run with this idea. So if you want to look more into Nizke Mamon, it's Kedai to look here. So remember, there's a question of why are you liable for your Mamon? Is it because you're responsible for it as a Shomer? Or is it more because you're the owner? So this is a good case where arguably the Ketanim are the owners, but the Apotropos is charged with the Shmira. So as between the two of them, who is more liable? Right? So if you think that the Yisomim are in principle liable, then it sounds like the ownership is more important in determining liability for Nizkei Mamon than responsibility of Shmira. But if you think that the Apotropsim are in principle liable, that means that you think that the Shomer is in principle more responsible for Nizkei Mamon than a Bailim. So the Achronim here have some discussions about this. All right. I want to now spend a few minutes delving deeper into that sugya to take out two important principles. Yeah.
Don't some people raise the problem on that sugya of Mami and Poch was that
L'chiyuva?
What?
Yeah. L'chiyuva?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that right now. So I want to talk about two important things that emerge from that sugya. The first is about Palga Niska Knasa, which is actually our next topic, but it's closely related to that discussion there. So remember we saw Machlokes, and just to set the conceptual framework a little more explicitly. So yes, we may say that there are cases where we'll hold a Katan liable, or at least his Mamon liable for Nezek, like this case of the Shor. But you might say that we're only going to hold a katan liable for certain kinds of nizke mamon. So again, we have an in-between view within the liability of a katan that he's not going to be liable for all nizikin, but he'll only be liable for certain kinds of nizikin as a katan. So we've already seen this in the fact that it seems like most Rishonim hold that on pezayin pigiyasan ra, a katan is not liable for adim hamazik. But on Lama Tess, he seems to be liable for Shorosha Hizik. And maybe that's a Takana, Mishum Tikkun Olam. But it sounds, whatever that liability on Lama Tess is, we'll distinguish between two different cases of that liability. So according to a lot of Rishonim, and the way they read the Gemara on Lama Tess, the Ketanim are only liable with an Apotropis for a Shor Muad Shelahem Shehizik. But they're pater for the Shor Tam Shelahem Shehizik. Right? So even though it's already Huchzok Nagchon, meaning even though we know that this animal is a menace. So why would you distinguish? You can see, by the way, it's just Maskonas Machlokas Ramam Ravid. The Ramam holds that your Chayiv, the Ketanim are Chayiv, even for Shor Tam Shelahem Shehizik with an Apotropis. The Ravid is in Vav Gimel, in his Kemamo. The Ravid disagrees. And he says, Amar Avram, v'rava mefarish l'stam asnisim, de'ein ma'midin apotropis l'tam ligvos migufo. So the interesting question is, why do we distinguish between the shor tam shalahem and the shor muad shalahem? So what do you guys think? Reb Joina.
So if you're going to say that the shor tam is migufo, therefore it's not... We could talk about the chiyuv mamon and hearing in the shor, right? And we could talk about the.
But here it cuts the other way. Here there'd be putter for.
Right.
Right here there'd be putter for the shor tam. If anything, it's migufo is more of a reason to.
Right.
Right.
You can't impose like knasas on them.
So maybe palga niska is knasa, right? So maybe we could only, even when we're holding yisomim liable mishum tikkun olam or whatever the mechayev on lamites is with an apotropis for niske mamon. We can only hold them liable for bona fide chiyuvei mamon. We can't impose just a knas on them. So look here at some formulations in the Rishonim. So the Rimi Luniel, commenting on the Mishnah on Lamites, says that Aval im bala shor mazik u cheresh ot v'katan pater. Shehare ein liknos oso al shelo shomro kiroi. Shehare ein lo das. We can't knas him for chisaron shmira. And then again he says over here, the sphere lud ein mamidin apetropis latam ligos migufo kolomer lahasan amona miyad kivan de la b'nei mitzvah ninu.
Then there shouldn't be a distinction between tam and lua.
Unless you think that the chiv of tam as a knas is only relevant to somebody who's like b'nei mitzvah. Meaning,
wouldn't it be the
you can't. What the purpose of the knas is? Kadesha yishmar al shoro, right? Kadela natre shmira. Mal Yasa, Shmira Mula. What's the phrase in the Gemara? Shmira, Ktila Natri, Shmira Mal Yasa, Malya. So he's saying that a katan's not a bar das to be punished for a chisaron Shmira. So that's why you can't hold him liable for the knas of Palganizka. But maybe liability, Betoras Mamon, there you could hold him liable even if he's Labane Mevad Mitzvah Ninhu. Like they're just two different conceptual grounds for liability. One of them is not shayach to ketanim. Although it's kind of right that he seems to be appealing to two different principles, right? One of them is ein liknos osam because the reason of lo shamro karoy is not relevant to non bardas. But then he also appeals to this separate idea of kivin delab b'nei mitzvah ninhu.
I would think the opposite. If the knas doesn't apply to short time, so then why when it comes to short muad would he be chayav?
What do you mean the knas doesn't apply?
If the chiyuv tashlumin, if it exists for as a knas, which doesn't apply
for
to kaftan,
palganizka.
For palganizka.
So that's why it, right. So the knas doesn't apply to ketanim,
right?
But chiyuv mamon will apply to ketanim. Right, that's the distinction he's drawing on.
So I think so. It's derabanan knas and a few moments doraisa.
So he doesn't distinguish between derabanan and doraisa. His distinction seems to be between ein lo das lo shomro karoi. So that blocks you from imposing a knas, or what he refers to later as kivin delab b'nei mitzvah ninhu.
I don't understand why it should block a
knas,
but it shouldn't block a
general
chiyuv mamon.
Does anybody have an answer for Noah?
Why is it so? Like, since ketanim are not bnei dat, so knas doesn't apply to them. But nevertheless, when it comes to shor muad, there still would be a chiyuv mamon for them. So like, I would think that there would be like a general principle about ketanim and being bnei dat that there should either be lachayev or not be chayev. But why would it be that when it comes to like short time there's a knas, but for like a technical reason for like knas shouldn't apply, but like in but for muad, like irrespective of the fact that they're minors and not going to die, they're still chayav for it. I don't really understand that.
Maybe the simplest explanation is if the chiyuv is granted for a katan is granted in stated nizak, so in yom chiyuv mamon there's stated nizak when you have a short time. The only grounds for being mechayev is knas.
Yeah, but still, I would say that the knas is some sort of way of.
But we know it's not. Meaning, with the knas is only there kidei to, yeah, it's a deterrent. Right, so like you're saying, maybe the chiyuv mamon could be stated denizak, which apply to the yisamim, but kidei de lanatre shmir mula is not really applicable to them,
okay.
Right? Because that's mazik based, right?
That.
Yeah, I think that's a nice distinction. The Meiri has a similar point, but though it's much more streamlined. So the Meiri on Lamites writes also that we're not mam and apotropis for a short time for the Yisomim. And what does he say? Shein mamid and apotropis latam ligos migufo ho v'chatzin as a knasu ein elu b'toras knas. He doesn't flesh out the reason, but he says the fact that it's a knas precludes the ketanim from being held liable. Tosos also on Lama Tess has a slightly different formulation. He doesn't appeal to the idea of knas. He says, V'yesh lomar, dehatam hu, kiven dechas rachmana al hatam shelo yishalim nezek shalem, hilkach legabe yasmi chashu alayhu. Very perplexing, Tosos. Saying the reason why the Ketanim are only liable for Mammon and not Knas, and not for Paganizka, the reason why they're liable for Nezek Shalem but not for Chatzi Nezek is just that we know the Torah is already lenient when it comes to Shor Tam, so we could be a little more lenient when it comes to Tam for Yisomim. It's like there's certain inertia to the leniency. Kind of a strange argument, right? You might say, if it's so kal, then it's not a big deal to impose Chatzi Nezek on the Ketanim.
This is something that Mandam or Paganiska
wrote. Oh, the other problem, the problem with this Tosos is that how do you reconcile this with how we paskin, which is Paganiska Knasa, right? What do you mean Chas Rachmana? If Paganiska is Knasa, then it's the opposite. Right, it's like hichmir haTorah be shor tam, that it makes you pay even though you shouldn't be liable. No.
Well, the whole question is only whether Paganiska would have made. Tosfos in the beginning says the first underlined says ein lo renami hangatam should Paganiska kanasa v'yaslo kasi do whatever Paganiska would have made. I mean, he's fine with that answer in London. Paganiska kanasa.
So you're saying he is disjunctive answer. He shouldn't have said ein lomar. He should have just said that. Well, yeah, for Paganiska Knasa, you can say La B'nei Knasa Ninhu. What do you do for Paganiska Knasa? What do you do for Paganiska Mamona? Kivin Dechas Rachman Alatam, then Chashuli Som Gamkein. It says there's two separate reasons here for the different Mandamrim. But it sounds like Tosfos thinks this would apply even to the Mandamr Paganiska Knasa, no?
Sounds like that from the structure.
Right, but you're saying it's difficult to...
Given that the whole thing is based on Kevin Hashkon all the time, which is
right.
Only something that applies to Leonard Paganiska.
Unless he thinks that maybe even within Paganiska Knasa, the Torah should have imposed a Knas of Mamon Shalem, like it does sometimes. And then the fact that it imposes a Knas of Chatzi Nezek is a Chas Rachmana. Possibility. Isaac, what do you think? Well, wow. It's like the Sefer Hasidim. yes, you can see the Yamshel Shlomo runs with this idea of Tosos. The time of the Ein Mamidin. So notice here, Yakir, he drops the... Within Tosos, you could say there's some like ambiguity that you could say that On the side of Paganiska Knasa, it's Yasmi La B'nei Knasa Ninhu, but on the side of Paganiska Mamona, it's Chas Vachman Alatam. Yamshel Shlomo says, Taima Dein Mamidin, Ein Mamidin Apachapas Lashor Tam, Pierce Tosos Varash, Kivin the Chas Vachman Alatam, Dein Mashalman Al Chatzi Nezek, Viaf Oso Achetzi, Ein Mashalman Al Migufo, Hilkach Gabi Yasmi Mrach Malayim. So you see here, he only quotes that last point. But what's further interesting about this Yamshel Shlomo is that he throws in for good measure that Shor Tam Mishalem Igufo is part of the Chas Rachmana Atam. That's important just a little bit for understanding exactly what the special kulas of Atam are. He's explicit that this is part of the Chas Rachmana Ale. But in substance, he agrees with Tosos. There's another camp in the Rishonim who argue why we distinguish between Tam and Muad for the Chim of Ketanim. So the Ravid in Bava Kamma Lama Tess Amid Aleph quotes the Knas idea, but he says Tam Acher Nifnei Shahashor Roy Lacharisha V'karna Ma'alya Diyathmihu V'lo Mafsadin Amahu V'chein Iker. So what's the Ravid's argument? Why is it that Yisomim are only chayev for the muad, but not for the shor tam?
Because
Jakir.
Sounds like one of the ones I think Tosos rejected. That we don't want to. That it's Lashon in the heading for the section. It's the Damar Mesuyam.
Yeah, you can see Shimon Kubetis has this idea in that way. How do you understand it?
That it's. It seems like it's too hard on the Yisomim.
Yes.
Take away
the punishment is too severe for the Yisomim. Right, look here in the Shinuch Betis, he also says, so the Shinuch Betis says, Mishum Shad Tamashal Migufo, V'chassi Rabbanan Shlo L'Hafsa Davar Mesuyam, Mashen Kid B'Muad. So, we're totally happy to make the Yisomim pay, as long as it's just like a weak liability to pay from their assets. But like to take away like this productive asset, like their, like the way the Ravid puts it, their shor that's roi lecharisha and it's karna ma'alia, right? It's like this very important instrument or productive piece of property. So lomaf sedina, though, we're not willing to take that away from them. So this is really, it's fundamentally different from the ideas suggested by the Meiri and Tosos of chasarachm of you know, there's some kulas about a tam and the idea that they're labene mevad knasa. Here it just sounds like yisomim can be held liable, but not if they're going to lose a davar mesuyam, not if they're going to lose like a real piece of their productive property that's critical for them. So it sounds like there's Well, you should, you tell me what you think is significant about this.
Is that what the record's saying, or is he just saying that, like, this shore is, like, a good shore, kind of, like, it shouldn't be the basis for, like, causing some of the loss?
Well, it's Roy Lacharisha.
Okay. It's a good shore.
So I think it's productive property. The Karen Amal, it's Karen. It's, like, real principle of the Yisomim. It's not just, like, cash that's, sitting in a bank somewhere.
I mean, first of all, I think the issue with the other perspective is that what if it's a shor muad and has all these something happen?
Yeah.
But still, davar mesuyam.
Right.
But also, like, I mean,
that's a kasha on the Ravid.
Well, I mean, okay, I would have read the Ravid differently as just saying that we're not going to cause them a loss for having something that's like a good thing in the property. I mean, like shor muad, you're supposed to get rid of shor muad. Well, like that can be the basis for
your
liability, but a short
time,
which is like something that's like.
But the muad, sure, you don't get rid of it.
No, but it can be the basis for having the son be liable.
Mm, they shouldn't have it around.
Yeah.
It's like kelev ra.
Right.
Or yashkin kelev ra b'sof beso.
Yeah, especially for
your
son, especially for the time of your son, that no ability to guard it.
Interesting idea. That's not my sense of what the phrase means. It sounds like, no, it's still a good shore, and it's gonna be productive for the Yisomim, so we don't want to like cause them to lose it. It sounds like that.
You know, we don't want to cause them to lose. Like does it pick out the shore itself?
No, I don't think so. But we don't want to cause them that loss. Meaning the implied object is the loss of the shore.
You don't call that a loss. That is no implied object anymore.
Yeah, but even then, but the loss is still through losing the shore, right? Because it's all about,
yes.
Right? Shor tam ashalim migufo here. It's more explicit in the Shita, maybe. But what do you take to be interesting about this this theory? And the Ravid on the Shita.
Can you explain the Ravid again? I don't really understand.
Anybody want to take a stab at it for Abnoya? Yakir, you're a little... Machlubin.
Ravid's saying that for...
Or the Shita, the same thing.
Right. Well, the Shita grounds it explicitly in Shor Tam Ashalim Migufo. So he's saying that since... since the payment would have to be this specific shore, as it's too severe a liability, it's too severe a punishment for the SOM that they would have to give up this
right.
specific shore.
How do you get that from that one line in the
right? He's saying, since like the shore is still like, it's a productive asset, right? It's still got a plow for you. Vikarnam alya diasmi. It's like, it's going to generate profits for the Yisomim. Right? It's Karen. Karen meaning it's like, it's not like a fungible asset. It's like this thing that's going to cause more value. So he's saying it's like the difference between causing the Yisomim to give up some fruits and causing them to give up their tree. It's like the source of income for Yisomim. So we're not going to force them to give up their source of income. But we could compel them to give up some income itself. So, Jonah.
I'm not saying it's Mokhrach, it might be even a little Chiddush, but possibly part of the Knas of short Tom. Part of the
is that you give up your productive
asset. Does
that mean
you're losing future production?
So it's very interesting, because usually we assume that Palga Nizka Knasa Mashal Migufo is a Kula. Right. So maybe here it's Afka Chumra. Maybe
right.
maybe the fact that it's part of the Knas is consistent with it being a Chumra even. Right. Like you gotta watch your shore or else you'll lose the shore. That's mm-hmm. like part of the deterrence even.
Right.
As you're saying, you lose the productive asset.
Right.
Which is like, in some ways, a bigger hit than
right.
just losing the payros.
Right, and especially as katanim, meaning the whole idea is that we want, you know, if they're going to be eventually gadolim who need to be set on their feet and have some
yeah.
kind of...
This is very interesting. So I think it's a very interesting point. The question is, how do we make sense of it for our purposes? So is the idea that it's just too... we want to protect the Yisomim and we don't want to take away an asset that'll be a source of their income going forward? Or is the idea that there's something different about Tashlumin that requires you to give up a productive asset, which we can't apply to Yisomim?
Doesn't have to go with the latter because the former option, I mean, it just seems like so ridiculous that the way we formulate that goal is the distinction between the short Tom and short Mula. Because
it's really just be how much of a hit it takes to their productive assets.
Right. There are other productive assets
right.
that don't have to be short Toms or Mula.
So you're saying more likely is the fact that
there's probably a plow that the short is bringing along with it. That's a pretty productive asset.
Right. So you're saying this would cut more to the mechayiv of short tam mashal and migufo. It's like the idea is that you're required to like forfeit your asset if you didn't exercise proper shmirah or something. That's not the kind of penalty we'll impose on yisomim.
I guess
so. That's the. So then this gets much more to the sodas of short tam mashal and migufo, right? Like why it is that you forfeit the property right in it, and we're saying that can't be applied to yisomim. So I'll call upon him. What emerges from here is that Yisomim could be chayiv to pay peros, but they can't be compelled to pay Karen Ma'alya as compensation, or at least not for a short time of Shalom Agufa. So we still have to iron out exactly what the significance of this is, but I think it seems to be very important. I don't know if anybody has further thoughts on this. Yakir, you have further...
Whole question
even
on the Amar that is the Apotropos who pays, right, in the Moad case?
What do you mean?
I mean, if you hold that the Apotropos who pays,
I mean, how would the Apotropos pay in a short time case?
Right.
Short time Mashal
Gufo. The question that because it's Mashal Gufo, it should be a Chumra Mishom.
It's not clear because the Gemara doesn't get into that machlokas until just the Gemara only talks about in the muad context.
Right.
It doesn't tell us what the mechanic. The lechor would be the yisomim themselves. Would have to pay. You're saying maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, at least
on one view.
For the Hadamar,
right?
Could be
because they're at least they're Yisomer are getting a deferment until they're Gedolim.
Right.
Whereas for unless you want to say that you defer this also until they're Gedolim, and then you take away their short time then.
And it doesn't seem like such a
this concern
sense.
Shouldn't apply
right.
as.
Sure, as right the Harisha, and it's going to be Chorish for them for another 10 years.
Right. That's a good point. Okay, so that's the first point I wanted to take away from that Sugyan Lama test, that there's this distinction between, at least on some views, between Tam and Muad, and different reasons for that distinction. The second thing I want to take away from that Sugya is related to a general question that we've seen in Nezikin, and that is this idea that we could, at least some cases of Nezikin are not about moral responsibility, but they're really just about our concern for society's welfare, right, which leans more into the economic understandings of liability. So the Gemara on Lamed Tes makes a big deal of the fact that generally we're not yored l'nichsei ketanim for anything. We're not go v'achov minichsei ketanim. The Gemara here even says, ein nizkaken l'nichsei yisom melem ken ribis ochelas bohen ol eshtar sheish bar ribis ol eksuvas isha mishem mizoni. I will only be yored l'nichsei yisom in exceptional cases, or very rare cases. So why over here does the Gemara seem to say that once you appoint an apotropis, at least on the view that you collect me'aliyas yisomim, how is it they are able to violate the rule of Ein Govin Mi Nichsei Ketanim? Right? So the Gemara raises this question, and the Gemara says, oh, Mazik Shiny. Nezikin is somehow different from all the other cases where we say Ein Nizkakin Li Nichsei Yisomim. But the Gemara doesn't flesh out exactly why Nezikin is different. So, what would you say? Bliad? Why would Nezikin be different?
I guess because it's not, I mean, it depends
on
what you think like, the nature of payment is, but it's not
like being
a little bit from the Yisomim so much as it's like, it's very, it sounds like you're going very lumdish on us. No, I don't mean to be like a structural point. I just mean that like, the nature of the payment is like very different when it comes to Nezikin and when it comes to like a loan.
How so?
Because when it comes to Nezikin, it's almost like reparative, it's like the reparative notion.
So, it's interesting.
Like, I mean, I guess you could also think in terms of...
That leans more into the moral theories, maybe. Right? It's like...
But it doesn't have to, because in the reparative sense, it's almost like less on the individual and more on the reparation.
Okay, but that might be true for a chov also, right? If I lent you money and you sold me...
Not really, because clearly chov is like specifically defined by the God or an individual and like the... Like a
hope
exists within a
person. So what I think is, I think there's just a more, there's a lower hanging distinction here. Isaac?
You need to protect society.
Yeah. And I just think it's like the Tikkun Olam issue that you gotta protect society from their damages.
It's very weak though, because it's like a very situational type of nezek to be concerned about.
Well,
a minor who is an orphan damages, like all the orphans are gonna get together and wreak havoc on society.
Well, they're just havoc wreakers by the fact that they there's nobody overseeing their assets.
We're blaming them for being an orphan.
Oh. But we're blaming them for having assets.
Oh.
Yeah. So, the Meiri commenting on the sugya there says, just to add in two words, Lo Amush Ein Nizkakin, the principle that we aren't Nizkakin L'Nichsei Katan, doesn't apply L'Inyan Nizikin. Why? Shelo yarbe bin Ezekim. Now this is kind of interesting. It sounds like he thinks it's deterrent based, right? Shelo yarbe bin Ezekim. Seems peculiar to me that ketanim can be deterred, or the yisomim can be deterred through making them pay. Is that what he means? Like lo yarbe bin Ezekim, that it's actually deterring them? Or does he mean that it actually mitigates the nezek by the fact that we're reimbursing the nizak?
Or like once you take all the way property away, they can't do it right.
Right, they're we're slowly taking it away. Right. The Yamsha Shlomo has a similar formulation. Mazik shiny, then is kakin ligvos mishum takana sa olam. So he has this wider phrase of Takanas Olam, Shelo Yarbe Lahazik. But then he throws in the deterrent thing as well, right? So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this leans more into deterrence, Lo Yarbe Lahazik, or the idea is more that their damages are mitigated by the compensation that the victims are receiving from their estate. I think it sounds more like the former, though. I think that's the latter is more plausible. Isaac, what do you think?
Why is it so crazy to think that someone could have...
You're saying they see every time they cause Nezek, they see like a part of their estate being taken away, and they get the point eventually.
Yeah, it is
possible. I guess it depends how prudent they are. Hick here.
It's also talking about they have an Apotropos here, so it could just be that it's a deterrent
for him
for the Apotropos.
But the Apotropos is not. But he doesn't have a stake in the estate, though.
So, first of all, it could just be, you know, it's his responsibility. He doesn't want the words to get out that he caused them so much loss.
Right.
But also,
guy's like, he's a bad investor. They made him an Apotropos, and the estate, you know, depleted under his watch. You're saying that's the...
That's possible. That's possible. Also, the Gemara says the only reason that it's the Yisomim who are paying is because if it were the Apotropos paying, no one would want to be an Apotropos.
Right.
So it's an indirect deterrent in that allowing us to be or not say Yisomim gives us a supply of Apotroposin, which can then... Which
you're saying that the real point here is we need the Apotropos. In order to rope the Apotropos in, you have to be able to allow the compensation to come out of the estate of the Yisomim.
Right.
Yeah. It's a little circuitous. You know, the idea that's really that the deterrent here is working for the through the Apotropos, but I hear the suggestion. But I think it does show that there's clearly certain liabilities that are born out of Mishum Tikkun Olam rather than moral accountability. So this is just like another example. The Rashba and Achuva and Chelek Vav Simon Reish Mem Tes, Isaac asked about the general principle of Ein Mamid Napotropos Lechova, that generally will only establish an apotropos if it helps out the Yisomim, not to make them worse off. So the Rashba was asked about a certain case, about whether they came out with an apotropos. And he says, Tshuva, L'chayiv ha-Yisomim b'knas, blah, 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 Eini roe b'ze yisod, she'ein konsen ha-Yisomim, principle we saw already in some Rishonim, ve'ein ma'amid an apotropos l'chayivan, ela b'shor ha-muad. Mipnei hezek harabim, aval b'shar mekomos lo matzanu. So here again, the Rashba again is not explaining. He's not explaining nizkakin l'nichsei somim. He's not explaining that we could collect from their estate, but he's explaining why in this one case of nizikin we're mamid an apotropos lechova, even though generally we do not. And his answer is that the consideration of hezek harabim is special, which justifies mamid an apotropos lechova. So here again, you see the economic consideration of Mishum Tikkun Harabim. Isaac, does that answer your question? Yeah, so I think this is just like another very good example. Here, it's not even necessarily deterrent-based. It's really just for the shmir of society-based. It's not about payment. It's about why we're Mamed Apotropos in the first place.
Right, but I thought people use this for in Mamed Apotropos a little lesson as like a proof that the
why?
The Rosh would be a response to that, but because how would we be Mavid Apotropos for the Yisomim if that's what's generating the Chiyav of Tashlumin?
You're saying it's got to be a Chiyav even without the Apotropos.
Right. But I guess this would be a response to that. So if you say, no, it is the Chiyav, but it's enhanced correctly.
Right. It doesn't sound that way from the Mishnah. From the Mishnah, it sounds like there's only liability once there's an Apotropos. From the Mishnah Lama Tess.
Okay.
But once there's an apotropos, then the Yisomim can be held liable, right? If there's no bar das overseeing their estate, you can't hold the Yisomim liable. But once there is a bar das, then that could generate liability for them.
Right, I know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, Einstein, right. Yeah. Good. So let me, that's really what I wanted to cover from this sugya of Katan. There is one more interesting point here. Oh, yes. So the last question I wanted to raise with respect to Katan Shehizik is, so we just saw that there's these economic reasons for either being Yorei L'Nechseihem or appointing an Apotropos L'Chalvasam. So the question is, in the absence of compensation, are there lesser remedies that could be imposed on the Ketanim, or lesser methods that could be imposed on the Ketanim to deter them and prevent them from causing harm to society? So something other than Chiyuv Tashlumin. So let me just point out that the Rambam in Perashat Mishnayos on this Mishnah of Chayr Shote V'Katan P'kiyasan Ra, so that's in Ches Dalid. So Rambam says, Kol Zeh Pashut, Aval Yesh L'dayin L'Hakosan Maka Rabba K'dei L'mnoa HaNizakim Yubnei Adam. So, can't make them pay, but yeah, you could be Maka HaMaka Rabba K'dei L'mnoa HaNizakim Yubnei Adam. This is kind of interesting, right? I mean, what's the basis here for the Rambam? So there's no compensatory damages, but there's preventative measures of force that can be used against them. So
it's more rehabilitation.
Well,
it's rehabilitation.
But it's not rehabilitative because it's K'dei L'mnoa.
Exactly. Trying to refine their moral character.
No, I think it's to prevent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is preventative, right?
Yeah, clearly.
It's like, yeah, it's not punitive. It's preemptive, I think. So the Rambam clearly recognizes that you have these means available to prevent Nezek from happening. The Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Kuf Yud, this is Hilchos Gviyas Chov Me'Yisomim. So he's quoting this Mordechai. Cryptic Mordechai and Gittin. So I'll give you the brief background. So the Gemara on Bava Kamma Kufiyat Beis Amabeis talks about Tinok Shetakaf Ba'avadav V'yar L'toch Sada Shel Chaver V'amar Shelihu. So you have basically a katan who's trespassing on somebody else's field and claiming it's his. So Ein Omrim Nam Tinat Sheyagdil El Motzin Miyad Miyad. So the Gemara says, well, okay, it depends if you had a chazaka or not. The Mordechai in Gittin Perek HaSholeach, so he talks about, normally we wait till a katan becomes a gadol to adjudicate cases, but then he says, Aval hecha sheyesh, so he says, Hecha sheyesh safek upikbuk b'davar. If there's some safek about the katan's trespass, such that like it's not so clear that he's in the wrong, yesh lahamten ad sheyigdilu. Okay, so then we should push off the case until he becomes a gadol. Against that gemara in Bava Kamma Kufiyat Beis, uchigon shehakatan ba'atzmo eino osa hezek b'yadayim la'acherim. And that's like a case where the katan himself is not actually causing the nezek. So it's not clear what that means. It sounds like he concedes that if the katan himself is doing the damage, then you don't have to wait until it becomes a gadol. So the Ramah quotes this in Siman Kuf Yud. Mishet Savach al Yisomim Ketanim Sheyesh Lo Hezekos Mehen. So somebody complains that he's suffering nezek from Yisomim Ketanim. Ein ma'amidon lehen apetropis ladon ima ba'odon kitanim im lo shemefursam shehen mazikin oso biyadayim. Unless it's clear that they're mazik biyadayim, then it'll be ma'amidon apetropis to allow somebody to sue them while they're kitanim. So doesn't it sound like he thinks that you can collect nazikin from kitanim? Doesn't that sound that way from this Shulchan Aruch? It's based on that Mordechai. So Achronim here say a few things. So the first move that some Achronim make is to say that this must only be talking about a Nizkei Mamon case, like the Mishnah on Lamed Tes, not like the Mishnah on Pei Zayin. Because if it's a Katan who's Mazik B'Yadayim Mamish, then we know he's Pater from the Mishnah on Achovel against the Agos Hashri. So they say they can't be talking about Mazik B'Yadayim Mamish. That's, for example, the Nesivus here writes, Pirish Mishor Shelahem, Dehein Atzman Sheiziku Pturim Milashalem. See that? Although the Stam language of the Shulchan Aruch implies that if there's Mamish Hezek B'Yadayim, then you could sue them even while they're Ketanim. The Tumim has a different idea about what these Hezekos are. He also wants to avoid it being Adam HaMazik of the Pei Zayin, because we know that you're normally your Pater. And he says, Rav Solomar al yedei kach she'ein yachol lehisparea me'osam nigram lo hezekos rabos. It's not pshat that the Yisomim are inflicting damage with their person. It's just that the Nizak is being harmed by not being able to collect his chov from the Yisomim. You see that? So it's harm through some sort of contractual relationship, not harm of Adam HaMazik. So that's two ways of trying to make sure that the Ramah here is not possible.
Well, what's the case where you can be harmed because you're not able to
collect? Maybe it's like you have other creditors that are, maybe like the mafia is coming after you or something for not paying your debts to them. But you would have been able to pay them if you were able to collect your chov from the Yisomim. But that doesn't really fit so well with the language of the Ramah, because he says, "Imlo shem afursam shem azikin osa biyadayim." It's hard to see that as the Yisomim are mazik biyadayim because they're not paying up the debt. Seems strange, right? So I think the simple reading here leans more into that Hagos Ashri, that I would say that maybe Mishum Tikkun Olam, well, I'll get to my suggestion in a second, but so first the Nesiva says that it's a case of Nizkei Mamon of Lamed Tes, which we know that Mishum Tikkun Olam you could appoint an apotropos. The Tumim says it's not a case of Adam HaMazik, it's a case of Nezek through their not being able, through the Nizak not being able to collect his debts.
But it is Adam HaMazik.
Well?
But it is Adam HaMazik for the Tumim.
Why? It's not Adam HaMazik from the Ketanim. It's not Adam HaMazik B'Yadayim. They're just, they're not a Bar Chiyuva to pay off the debts.
Where did there, what Hezek are we talking about?
So, the Nizak, the would-be Nizak is about to be harmed by a third party because he's not able to recoup payment from the Yisomim.
What payment?
It's money that they owe him.
Oh, nothing to do with
that's kind of the move that he's making, right? I mean, Shigesh lo Hezekos, what are the Hezekos that the claimant is suffering at the hands of the Yisomim? Ayidei kach she'en yochal hisparea me'osam nigram lo Hezekos rabos. See that?
What are Hezekos being
included in that? Actual Nezek, that they're like they're going and ripping out the grass in his field.
And for some reason that's causing
illegal travel. I don't know. It sounds like he wants to say this to preserve the integrity of we'll see.
Like if the mafia is after him for $100,000 and they don't have $100,000 of Mazik, why wouldn't that be included in that?
Right. So it sounds like he thinks that it wouldn't be included. It's only if they owe money or something, then maybe you'd be able to collect that. So the Sma has a different way of trying to make sense of this Ramah. And he says that this line, that the remedy in this case is never going to be Tashlumin. The Ramah is not suggesting that if you're suffering hezekim biad haktanim, then you'll get compensation for damages. What will you get? Liad, what do you think? I don't know, you'll just get injunction. Lesalikosan. Aval ein mishalmen mashe heziku bekatnusan. So you see, he reads this, the Ramah itself is pretty cryptic. The Ramah says, I mean, I don't think it's so cryptic, right? Misha tzivach ha-yisom k'tanim sheyesh le-hezekos men ein ma-midin le-hanapachapis lo-don ima ba-odan k'tanim im lo-shem efursam chen ma-zikin osa b'yadayim. If you ask me to interpret this, I would say, well, if he is mazik b'yadayim, then you can collect from them. You're mabidos, mamidos on din and collect. The smaz move is to say, that can't be that you collect, because that would be against the Mishnah Pezayin, but rather you have this weaker remedy of misalkinosan. And that's like maybe more in line with the Rambam. The Rambam says preventively kimaka, and he's saying if there's, in the cases where you could get a din Torah against the ketanim, the remedy is siluk. If you ask me, I would just say that no, in a chanami, the point of the Ramah is consistent with the idea on Lamitas that, yes, in extreme cases of tikkun olam or mishum nezek harabim, so in a chanami, you can adjudicate against ketanim, just like you can in the case on Lamitas. If they have a shore that's out of control, that's posing a threat to society, then in those cases we're mabon and apotropis to allow you to collect. And lechora, you could say the same thing would be true in extreme cases of adam mazik. Person is complaining about the yisomim ketanim, yishol hazekos mehem. If they're mazik biyadayim, then in achanami he could win an award against them and recover compensation. Mishum tikkun olam, not because of their moral accountability, but just for the same principle in lamites. What do you do with the Mishnah on Pezayin? Mishnah on Pezayin is dealing with a standard case. It's a standard case of a katan shehizik. But that's, and there's no moral accountability, but when you're mitzaveach al yisomim and they're mazik also biyadayim, they're repeated offenders, then it doesn't seem inconsistent with Mishnah on Pezayin to say that in those rare cases you can collect tashlumin mitam tikkun olam. You guys agree? Right. Correct. That's my suggestion. The Achronim here don't make that suggestion. They think that you have to limit this to a case of Nizke Mamon. That all seems inconsistent with the language of the Shulchan Aruch working off the Mordechai. Yakir, you mask him? Well, that you could say that there are cases where you could be gove tashlumin from yisomim ketanim mipnei tikkun olam, and the Mishnah Pezayin is just not dealing with cases that are mipnei tikkun olam. It's dealing with stam cases of katan shehizik. But here mipnei tikkun olam, you already complained about these yisomim ketanim that they've been harming you. It's been going on for a while. So if they're mazik, if you're mazik, your property be a daim, then in a chanam, you could be govet tashlumin from them. I think it's a very sensible distinction.
Also, can Besdin do whatever they want at a certain point? Meaning if it's...
Makan vonch shlomen adin.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but you could take a Mishnah Pezayin as like this like fundamental exclusion of ketanim from... I'm saying you see that from Lamites. Lamites shows you that's not true. Mm-hmm. If there's like a public welfare concern, then you could override that and hold them up and hold them liable. Mm-hmm. So I just want to point out that we already saw the Nemuke Yosef who tried to argue or explain why is it that on Lamites we're willing to appoint an apotropis for Nizke Mamon, but the Mishnah on Pezayin doesn't suggest appointing an apotropis for Katan HaMazik Begufo. And you remember what he said? He said, oh no, on Lamites, it's easier to appoint an apotropis to watch over shore, but if you were to appoint an apotropis for Adam Hamazik, you'd end up taking away all of their assets, right? But you might say that Svara is not relevant in special cases of Mipnei Tikkun Olam, because it's not dealing with any Nezek caused by Katan. You're just dealing with the more egregious forms of Nezek that Katan perpetrates that cause a threat to his neighbors or to society at large. So I think the case can be made that you could collect, that at least in these more egregious cases of Mipnei Tikkun Olam, you'd be Mamed and Apotropis, which would allow you not just to enjoin the Ketanim from harming you, like the Sma says, but also to collect Tashlumim from them. Okay? Okay, you masking now that you hear it, or?
I think so.
What?
I think so.
Yeah? Okay, so now let me wrap up. What, Jonah?
Sorry.
What was that?
It seemed like this was the wrap-up.
Oh, that was the wrap-up?
That was a special up. It only comes out at 2:38.
Oh. Why, do you want to stretch for a minute? You want to...
I don't know.
Well?
You can keep talking.
Okay, thank you. For shus. Noah's not giving me a shus, so he's...
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm allowed to make it a cup.
All right. Should have gone to the ship this morning. You wouldn't feel cooped up. So, I want to wrap up here by discussing the cases where maybe a father could be held liable for the nezek of his children. So until now, we've been talking about surely the katan's not liable, but why not hold the father liable for the nezek of his children? So the first thing you'll probably say is, what? Well, that'd be a huge chiddush to be okim the Mishnah and Pei Zion as case of Yisomim. Mm-hmm. Just said Chiri Shot V'Katan P'yasan Ra.
Right, that's true.
It's very interesting. I mean, I like that idea maybe of limiting the Mishnah Pei Zion to Yisomim. And V'Harai and Lamites, we know once there's an apotropis, they could be held liable, right? So why not just view the father as an apotropis?
Right.
Right. I mean, that seems the most sensible thing to say.
I don't even remember if Rashi says that over there, but yeah.
So the Megillah is saying, well, we can't appoint an apotropis especially for the Yisomim, because then it's basically Machal their Mamon or something. And so is that the Svara also for a father, that it's going to be Machal Mamono to hold him liable for his Ketanim? Isaac, what do you think?
I agree that it's still hard to say that the mission is only the Yisomim, but it does seem pretty sensible if you're responsible for your kids.
Yeah. Right. So why not view the father as an apotropis?
What do you mean, why not be in the apotropis?
Hey.
Like, that would be why he's
father. Yeah, hold him, he should be liable, like, as the apotropis of his ketanim. I think that is a possibility. And then, it gets a little complicated, then you have to say something like Jonah's saying almost, right? That the Mishnah is a case of Yisomim Dafka. Or you have to say, for technical reasons, you can't view him as an apotropis, but it's very difficult to justify that. But I think that's one suggestion, to say in a chanami, the father would be chayev as an apotropis, but maybe only in like stronger cases of nezik and not for any nezek caused by the child.
No one says that.
So I wondered also if there's the possibility of holding the father liable b'toras nizke mamon for a child. I mean, if you're liable for your shor, then maybe you should also be liable for your child, but only betoras niske mamon, not betoras ad mamazik. So you'd only be like, you wouldn't be liable if you were natre shmira p'chusa, like a shmira meula if he's a tam, something like that. So the argument against that is to say, well, you can only be liable for niske mamon if you have a kinyan on your mamon, and you don't have a kinyan on banav ubnosav. I think the response to that is that, well, it really depends on how much Niske Mamon depends on actual kinyan versus just the fact that they're bershuso and you have duties of shmiro over them. So just to point out, the Rambam's formulation in Aleph Aleph is a little vague. The Rambam says, Kol nefesh chaya shehi bershuso shel adam sheizika abaylam chayavim l'shalim. So if you really just have this phrase, then it sounds like a banav haketanim should be included, right? Kol nefesh chaya shehi bershuso shel adam sheizika. unless you did Bilim, maybe Bilim is too strong to capture a parental relationship. But then in the next phrase, it's Shaharei Mamonam Hizik.
You'd also have to say that Sha'ar Behemla includes children.
What?
You'd also have to say that Sha'ar Behemla includes children.
Echad Ashor? The Echad Sha'ar Behemla Chayv Ov?
Yeah,
he's saying. That's just Shor. I mean, that's just contrastive to Shor. So saying the Pasuk.
The basis for the rule that he said in the first line is Pasuk Ki Yigov Shor Yish Esrei.
Right.
And then he
said, you might say the katan.
Sure, it's limited. It includes all chayvos.
I hear. You might say you're chay for your katan. Bitoras the shore, Shabo. Bitoras the neshama habehemis. The nefesh habehemis. Nefesh habehema in there.
Yeah, I was going to say the chabehema or chayo.
Right.
I thought you were going for the car type of thing.
Well,
that
what?
Well,
that what? Like the animal?
Oh, animal spirits.
Yeah, but is that right?
The animal spirits that are like the intangible ether that, like.
Right, but he doesn't mean the nefesh behema though. It's the Rishonim all think that you have like a nefesh. You have like this nefesh chayah. There's like a nefesh in addition to the nefesh behema, nefesh chayah. You have like nefesh asichli or something, right? So you might say there's liability for that. So remember, some Rishonim say explicitly that the reason why your putter for your Eved is because he's a bardas on his own. But that logic wouldn't apply to your katan, who's not a bardas on his own. So I think the real move out of here has to be something about, well, he's not a kinyan. You need to have a kinyan is a necessary condition for being liable for his damages. But again, it's not, we've seen it's not clear to what extent kinyan is absolutely a necessary condition for liability. Right, like in the cases of Shomer or something like that. So if you think that a katan, so you might say this is, if you're liable b'toras niskei mamon for your child, then the Mishnah on Pei Zayin is not a kasha because the Mishnah is really talking about b'toras ad mamazik, right, or the katan not being liable for himself. I think even if you say that the father is not b'tropis for his child, you might say that the Mishnah is really just talking about a child qua his own liability. That gets to Jonah's point that, you know, it's talking about a default not just to Yasam, but a child that's not Bebes Aviv. Right, you see from the Gemara, it sounds like once you were seven, you weren't, the assumption was you weren't living at home or you have a katan, she'eno samach al shulchan aviv. So you might say the Mishnah there is really talking about a katan who's under his own jurisdiction, is Pekiyasara, but not necessarily if he's a katan Bebes Aviv. I think that is a possibility, even though nobody entertains it. So there are two, so far there were two suggestions as to where a father could be liable, either b'toras apotropis or b'toras niske mamon if you downplay the kinin mamon part of things. A third case where you could be mechayiv and aviv, and here poskim do talk about it, is b'toras mamid. So remember in the sugya Nunvav, we saw this case of mamid behemas chavero al kamas chavero. So there's machlokas Rishonim there between Tosfos and the Rashba, whether that's a case of a transferred responsibility for the behema, since I'm overseeing it, I become liable for its actions, or is that b'toras ad mamazik, like the Rashba thought? Nafkamina, whether you're chayiv nezek shalem, muad liolam. So Pesachei Choshen here quotes the Machronim, b'sefer nachas el yo, Kasav Shamamid Katan al Hashulchan, Meshiber Kalim Chayev Mishamamid, Kivin Debari Hezekah. If you bring your child into a place where it's expected that the child will cause damage, then you could be held liable b'toras ad mamazik for your Katan's actions. On that theory of the Rashba, that you could be Chayev for Mamid Behemas Chaver al Kamas Chaver b'toras ad mamazik. But that's a more limited case, right? It's only the case where you're actually overseeing the Katan's actions. So if Yakir is overseeing Ami's destructive behavior, Yakir could be held liable with Taras Adam Mazek, right? Even it sounds even with like Adam Liolam even. So that would be a third case where, and it's less controversial case where the father could be held liable. Fourth case is I found this interesting article online by this Talmud of Zalman Nechemya Goldberg.
Hey, Ma'amid would only be cases where like he's actually there.
Yeah.
Can't argue that like every time a Katan does something, it's like the father's Ma'amid in there, like
I guess it would depend on the circumstances. You know, like the father brought the kid into the school, into the glass door, and then walked out. The father would be liable. It doesn't sound like he has to be the b'shas nezek, but it sounds like he had to have been the facilitator of the nezek. So we have to look at that tzugan on vav, exactly what the maisa that you're doing there is in the mamid case. So the fourth case where a father could be held liable is suggested by Abzalman and Nechemia Goldberg in an article in Tchumen, where it's a very clever idea, actually. He talks about im hachifet shebo'a katan hizik hu shel aviv, kemosha katan hizik aide kador shel aviv. So the katan uses his father's instrument or item to cause nezek. Harei ze nechshav kibor hamizgalgal barag le'adam. Yesterday I gave Noam a glass cup with a stem, and he was eating grapes, and he thought it would be funny to throw a grape. But of course, he doesn't know where his arm is going to move, so he threw the grape and he knocked over the cup, and it shattered all over the floor. And then later, I stepped on the glass shard and cut my foot. So, if I were somebody else, if I were somebody else, I could sue me for Adama Mazik. Not for Adama Mazik. Sorry, for at least Bora Miskalga Baragli Adam, because I put the kli in a way that the katan's actions is considered to be a ruach mitzuya, right? If it's kind of expected that the katan might do this, or it's reasonable that the katan might use the kli in this way, then the father's liable b'toras bor. I think it's a very nice suggestion from Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. So it turns out that there are four possibilities here. Two of them are b'toras nizkei mamon. Two are b'toras adama mazik. The suggestion based on aleph of kol nefesh chayashi b'shusha shel adam is a nizkei mamon mechayev for the father. Bora misgalgel is a nizkei mamon mechayev for the father. Mamed may be an adama mazik mechayev according to the Rashba. And my suggestion of apotropis, I think, would be an adama mazik liability where the father is responsible for the nizkei katan. I think there's one proof to my idea of apotropis, that the father can be considered an apotropis if the katan is living in the father's house, even for the adam hamazik shebo, in which case the Mishnah on Pei Zayin is really just talking about a case where the katan is not living in the father's house because he can't be considered an apotropis. So if you go back to that Mari Bruna that we saw in the beginning of the Chabura, so he was asked about shnei katanim shechavlu zeze mai benayu. I mean, what liabilities do they have against each other? So he goes into his analysis, he quotes the Or Zeruah, and he quotes that Mordechai from Gittin that the Shulchan Aruch quoted, right? The Mordechai that if they're mazik be a dayim, and look what he says. So first he says, Mashma, Hecha she'osa ha'hezek bi'adayim la'achirim nizkakin l'katan miyad. If the katan himself does, like, inflicts damage on others, then maybe nizkakin l'katan. Okay, so his diak from the Mordechai is that there are some cases where the katan can be held liable. But then he says, v'yishlomar haynu sheyish lira shema Yosef od la'achirim v'yazik la'achirim. Maybe that's only mishum tikkun olam. Okay, but at least he's willing to recognize that mishum tikkun olam, there are some cases where it could be yored to make the chasan, to katan liable. Then he says, inami mishum knas. Maybe you could hold him liable as a knas. But then he says, mikol makom dafka kishma amidim lahem an apotropis. Haba b'inyan acher lo. You would only be able to hold him liable if there's an apotropis overseeing them. You can't hold the katanim liable when no one is overseeing them. So just my diak here is that he's discussing this in the context he's discussing this in the context of a katan shechaval, and he closes by saying that to the extent that you can hold a katan liable, be kishna amidah lehen apotropis. That seems to be in tension with the Namuka Yosef's idea that just we would never be ma'amid apotropis lekatan, because then you'd end up taking away too many of their assets, depleting their assets. But the Mari Bruna, if I'm reading this correctly, seems to acknowledge that there can be liability for a katan shehizik biyadayim if you're ma'amid apotropis over him, which I think supports my my suggestion. In the last line of that Mari Bruna, he quotes Reb Zalman Kitzing, so I don't know if that's different from Reb Kalman Kitzing. So you see there's a cover of Kalman Kitzinin, and then the last line we have Reb Zalman Kitzing. I think it's the same person, or it's the... So he says, Emori Reb Zalman Kitzing, hu shahaya dan al haktanim shechavu zebezeh, v'chiev la'av hakatan shvua she'ein lo mamon shel hakatan. That's not clear what he's suggesting here, but it sounds like had the father owned assets of the katan, maybe he could be compelled to use those to pay for his katan shehizik.
Would that not be the equivalent of an apotropis, though?
What?
That would be the equivalent of
an apotropis. Yeah, it sounds like it would be a quasi-apotropis principle. Isaac, what do you make of that line in the Mari Bruna? What? Yeah. You can just read that highlighted line. Liad, what do you make of it? All right, it sounds like if the father had bar mitzvah money, I guess bris money of the katan.
Doesn't sound like
it
did.
What?
Doesn't sound like it did.
No? Who shahaya don?
Oh.
Halaktanim shechavu zebezeh. That if he had mamon shel hakatan, it could be used to... Hard to know. It's very cryptic, Mari Bruna. Okay. Well, it does sound that way, right? That he would make him pay if he were to have assets of the katan. But I think it would also support, as Jonah says, a kind of apotropis mechayiv for the katan shehizik. So definitely the hakan, the assumption out there is that a father is not liable for Nizke Banav, though I do think a good case can be made based off these Makoros that certainly if it's Mishum Tikkun Olam, he could be held liable. But I think even without that, Tikkun Olam in conjunction with viewing the father as the apotropis of his child would be good grounds for making the case that he actually can be held liable. So let's stop here, but Monday we'll pick up with, or we'll figure out if we're having, if we're meeting Monday, Palganiska Knasa, even though we saw some nice Palganiska Knasa stuff here. And maybe we should say a few words about who gets compensation if a third party is mazik somebody's minor children. Meaning, so far we spoke about a katan shehizik, is their liability. But what happens if someone's mazik your children? Do the children collect? Does the father collect? So there's some interesting stuff there that maybe we could spend like 10 minutes on before we do Pagan's Kekanasa. All right? Shkoyach, everyone.
Sorry, I'm coming every day.